residential storage shed is not subject to review unless it's relocated in the shoreline zone. And there's a pretty good chance that somebody's relocating a shed in a shoreline district, depending on how big it is and where they're putting it, I might just decide to tell them that you don't need a permit to do that.
If it's on skids, do you still need a permit?
If it's an ice shack, no. But if it's a shed you just want to relocate around your lot from time to time, that doesn't matter. You know, it's a building that you need a permit to start off with, a building permit. But this deals with relocation. You have a shed, and you put it over on the left side of your lot, and you decide you'd rather have it over on the right side of your lot. And it's just like an 8x8 shed, something like along that lines.
Why
do you need a permit for that? You
know, but suppose
it's not on a foundation or a slab, basically.
But supposing you had it built somewhere else and then brought to the to where you wanted to put it.
That's subject to a building permit. Okay. Site built or prefabricated doesn't matter.
So you should probably look at it before the building is on the property, or
sheds? No.
Bring a cut sheet.
I don't look at modulars, mobile homes, before they're delivered.
Okay. But you look at them after they're delivered.
Oh, yeah.
So, I guess.
You need a permit for occupancy.
For those,
But not for a shed.
No, not for a shed, no. Any questions about the changes there?
I have a question. I think the proposed revision 10.10.4 is a revision of the existing 10.10.6. And I'm just trying to understand what a relocation of a land use would be. How would that happen? I'm just trying to understand what that means.
What is considered a relocation of land?
Of a land use. I mean, is that like generic, that picks up everything that's not listed here? I'm just trying to understand, because down in the existing one it says essentially the same. Of a land use to another lot is considered to be an establishment of a land use and subject. So there's something that's already in there. And somebody, I'm just trying to visualize what that would be. That would be a relocation of a land use.
Well, we had some people here not too long ago. The home folks wanted to raise cattle.
Mm-hmm.
So,
is that a relocation?
Well, what if they approved it and then their drawings show a pasture or something, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they take the cows and they move them over there? That's my guess. That's the way I would read that.
Would the cemetery being moved be a relocation of land use that we approved?
Yeah, I think the main difference, Chris, is between a structure is a land use, but you can have non-structural things that also are land uses as well.
Yeah, okay, like the
paddock or something.
Parking lot.
Yeah, paddock or the cemetery.
Yeah. A garden? Vegetable garden?
You wouldn't need approval for that, though, I don't believe.
Unless it was a commercial garden.
Even then, I'm not sure that would be the situation. I'm not arguing that you're wrong. I'm just trying to think of.
This is getting really shady and gray.
It seems to be legal.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I'm just trying to understand what it is there. Because it's in the existing one under 10.10.6. No.
And 7, too.
Yeah. There it is. Yeah. But that talks about an existing structure. Maybe it's a catch-all for everything we haven't thought about.
I think that was my intent behind that.
Yeah. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Moving on to section 10.11. No changes are proposed in this section. But this one is going to need some work one of these days. I just decided not to tackle it now because there's one term in here that really needs to be defined, but it's not, and that is discontinued. The word discontinued is used in here, but there's no definition of what that means. And DEP does not have a definition of what that means.
Where are you referring to?
Page 9.
5 and 6.
Where it says discontinued, 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 discontinued.
So it's pretty much up to my discretion as to how to apply that term right now, and I'll give an example of how I am applying it. The old Quick Stop on School Street.
Okay.
I was asked a question. I had a store in this building. Like, it's closed now, but can I open it again? I have another store. It's a non-conforming use because retail stores are not allowed in the Village District or the Tannery Brook Shoreland District. There's two districts that affect that property. So I had to decide, is this use discontinued or not? Because it refers to discontinuance of non-conforming uses. You can't reestablish that. A non-conforming use has been discontinued. Except for
when it originally opened, it was non-conforming.
Well, that was years ago, Edward. It is now. It is so. So I, not having a definition for discontinue, I decided to call it, if the features of the last use are still in the building, then it has not been discontinued. In this case, the features of the last use were shelving, coolers, countertops, things of that nature. The inventory's gone, obviously. Products are gone, but the basic features of the retail store were still there, so I decided it had not been discontinued. Hmm. I'm just winging it.
Okay. Who's going to dispute it?
That seemed reasonable to me. To
neighbors.
Yeah, somebody who doesn't want it to reopen.
So we really should define what discontinued means, but it's easier said than done, I think. I've tried to define it, but it's not that easy to do. That's why I left this untouched. Mm. It hasn't really been a problem yet, but it could be a problem.
I mean, the building is still in condition to be operated as it was originally operated, or has been for probably, 30 years?
More than that.
Probably longer than that. Yeah. I mean,
the gas pumps,
exterior change.
I don't know. I have never been in there in my life when it was operating.
You haven't? No, I was when...
grew up in the neighborhood, so, yeah.
One of the last people...
Stewart.
They did, I thought, a great job there.
So the building is currently the brothers who live up on Orca Mountain Road, they run the brewery. They're interested in buying that property and moving their brewery there along with the tap room. That also, both those are also non-conforming uses in the Village District. But here's what our ordinance says. If you have a non-conforming use and you want to change it to another non-conforming use, you can do that with planning board approval. So that's how that would come up. That would play out that way.
Before we continue much further on this discussion, I would remind everybody that we're being recorded here. So just thought I'd mention that.
Where's the brewery located?
They're up on Orchid Mountain Road right now. They have a outbuilding that they are using for a small brewery.
And they have a bakery
in Bangor. They're going to keep that there. They just want to use. They want to find a location in Bucksport where they can expand their brewery and have a tap room. They looked at Wilson Hall. That didn't pan out for them.
Very cool.
They run a tight ship, from what I understand.
They were very interested in Wilson Hall because of the religious tie there. Mm-hmm. For them, that was important. But it just turned out to be too expensive a venture for them to deal with that. The Quick Stop, they feel much better about. The asking price for the property is quite high, so I guess they're negotiating right now with the owner, trying to find an agreeable price to sell. So that's all I know about that property. So, but...
It has sort of an artistic flavor to it, doesn't it?
What?
A tap room and brew room?
Mm-hmm. We'll have to do a site visit. That'll be required.
Yeah. it will be, if that comes to pass, it'll be an interesting application. I'm not sure how the neighbors are going to think about that. A tap room is a place where people go and drink.
Right, it's a bar.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the neighbors will say about that.
Very limited practice.
That's why I mentioned we're being recorded as we progress through this discussion.
So page 10 is proposed change to section 10.12, change of use. And again, we start off by saying you looked at section 10.5 for any change of use. And here's where I just mentioned, if you're changing a non-conforming use to another non-conforming use, that automatically goes to the planning board. And 10.12.3 is where I put language in that allows some flexibility and changes of use for storefronts on Main Street and other properties too, but Main Street is where this came from primarily. Change of use is not subject to review if a new land use replaces a land use with the same land use classification, unless the code enforcement officer has determined that any changes to the form or function of the land use require a review in order to support the purposes of this ordinance. So again, one retail business moves out, another one moves in. They may sell different products, but there's no detrimental effect that can be identified by that change. So you can do that change without a permit.
Same function and purpose as the previous.
Yeah.
Makes sense. I'm liking this.
And that replaces all the language below.
Well, so that is a simplification, I must say. That is sweet.
And the last page 11, this is a change to section 16.4, non-conforming uses. And as I'm eliminating the notations for amendments whenever I have a chance, I started doing that to have the amendment change right there in the section that's being changed, but I just decided it's going to get too busy looking, so all the amendments that are made to Appendix K are listed at the end of the ordinance. So the main change here is in section 16.4.3, an existing non-conforming use may be replaced with another non-conforming use subject to level 2 review. 16.4.3.1, in addition to determining compliance, and by the way, this language here is what DEP is asking to be put in. In addition to determining compliance with the applicable standards in section 12, if the new non-conforming use is located in any shoreline district, the planning board must determine that it will have no greater adverse impact on the water body, tributary stream, or wetland, or on the subject or adjacent properties and resources than the existing use. In making its determination, the planning board shall require written documentation from the applicant regarding the probable effects on public health, safety, erosion and sedimentation, water quality, fish and wildlife habitat, vegetative cover, visual and actual points of public access to waters, natural beauty, floodplain management, archaeological and historic resources, and commercial fishing and maritime activities, and other functionally water-dependent uses. That's a mouthful, but it covers everything that DEP is concerned about in shoreline areas.
It sounds to me like all the items we cover in the level 2 review.
It pretty much is, yes. Yes. But they wanted this language put in this section because it's in their guidelines in the section that deals with non-conforming uses. So this makes them happy.
How do we make them happy? They're making us unhappy.
Yeah. I'm still working, by the way, on justification for allowing even less restrictive dimensional standards in this shoreline zone than we already have. I don't know if you realize this, but our dimensional standards we have in this shoreline district are less restrictive than what DEP otherwise requires by quite a bit.
How do we get along with that?
Well, when we repealed our existing land use ordinance and replaced it with what we have now, all these changes were proposed, and I guess we just justified it. They agreed that they were justifiable changes to make. But the argument I'm making now is even though we have less restrictive standards, they're still causing problems for some property owners to be able to use their property more than what they can now. Add an apartment, it's hard to do. Because even though the standards are still less restrictive, they're causing problems. So what it boils down to is we may have to ask them to eliminate eliminate some of the minimum requirements in order for people to use their properties. Short frontage, I mean, there's a string of lots on Main Street that has no short frontage. So if you can't give them a short frontage, why require?
Yeah.
Why require it in the first place? Because that makes them non-conforming if you do that. And you can't expand a non-conforming use or non-conforming condition. Same with lot size. We have a lot of lots that, even though the minimum lot size is what, 10,000 square feet, I think, for commercial?
Yeah.
We have a ton of lots that are less than that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you see that in coastal communities up and down this coastline. And Deer Isle, Stonington, fishing and boating and stuff, you'll see different footprint along the shore than what you do here.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff. So this thing seems to be kind of a catch-all for anywhere from Kittery to Cal.
So how hard is that for them to, would that be to have them make some changes?
Well, we have to justify it. We have to have a good reason for having those standards reduced even more or eliminated altogether. And one of the approaches I'm taking is, you know, DEP is they're very concerned about protecting the natural resource. You know, that's all the buffer. The buffer does that.
Yeah.
We don't have a vegetative buffer that meets the DEP standards right now. It's all non-conforming from one end of the Main Street to the other.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do have is a protected strip of land right up against the water. It's a waterfront walkway, which is vegetated with, you know, landscaping on both sides. It's maintained by the town. And we add vegetation from time to time. And if we remove vegetation, we replace it. A good example of that is, although this isn't going to happen right away, but the owner of the Lighthouse Arts Center wanted to take out the birch tree right behind their building because it obstructs the view of the water and obstructs the view of the building from the water. So they asked the town council if they could remove it. The waterfront committee met just a little while ago and decided that before they decide to remove it, they wanted the owner of the business to hire an arborist to take a look at the tree, evaluate its condition, first of all, see if it's a healthy tree, how much time it has left, and see if it can be pruned to help open up the view. And then they would revisit it next year. And I pointed out that if that tree, if you decide to take that tree out, it has to be replaced with other vegetation of some sort, because you're, by removing the tree, you're increasing a non-conforming condition.
Yeah.
And that's illegal. And that's true with any vegetation on this waterfront. The whole waterfront is non-conforming for the buffer standards that we have now. Now, maybe we can convince the EP to have different buffer standards for this downtown shoreline district. I haven't thought about that yet, but that's something we may have to do.
So all the lots on this side of that walkway don't own any shore frontage?
Not all. Yeah, some do down this end here. The house properties down there, those lots go to the water. Starting from roughly the Verona Grange, from there down to the town dock, most, if not all, those lots have no shore frontage.
Mostly because there used to be a railroad,
yeah,
right, right where Rosen's is.
Yeah. And now we have town-owned property that cuts all these lots off from the waterfront, except for down this end. We have easements over the lots down here for the walkway, but from roughly from this property down to the mill, essentially, it's all town-owned property, the shore frontage.
Okay, because the easement actually is not the walkway; it's the sewer line that's under.
Well, the walkway has an easement too. There's a separate easement for the walkway.
Yeah, well, the sewer line follows it pretty much. Yeah.
So they're getting paid for two easements. Good deal.
Yeah. So any comments or suggested changes to what we just went through?
You need a
no, you're not done yet. You got to hold a public hearing
tonight.
No, there's no public hearing scheduled for this time. You'll have to schedule one. I'm assuming you want to do it at your next meeting.
I think we should have an interim meeting. This is pretty pressing business.
I know.
Can't you use another $25?
I don't think Chris wants to take the minutes of that.
Sorry.
No.
What's he talking about? I'm not paying attention, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, David.
That's okay.
Is that okay with the board? You want to go next month for the public hearing?
You're right.
All right, we'll do that.
There's no urgency to this, I'm assuming, at this point?
No, not really.
That developer's not going to come back and...
I think the fellow that was looking at that house down there is just giving up on it. And
which is kind of too bad, really.
Well...
You know...
The changes to Section 10 that gives the CEO more authority for changes, that's not pressing. It'd be good to get behind us, but... if it takes another 60 days, that's not a big deal.
Be December then. Christmas.
So the pop-up shops will be the ones where will be good examples of not requiring permits. They come in. They do it anyway now, but the first year they're here, they had to get permits for all those pop-up shops. The ordinance said you had to get permits, and I couldn't say, don't worry about it. You know, it's not my job to say, don't worry about it. It's my job to say, this is what our ordinance requires you to do. So it'd be good to be able to say to them, our ordinance now allows you to open up your pop-up shop without a permit.
Good. Health and sanitation, if they were serving food, that's a different story.
Speaking of that, the segue into another topic that I want to bring to your attention that I'm working on, and that is changes to our business licensing ordinance. It's essentially being rewritten because the current ordinance is difficult to use. It's repetitive. It's just a poorly written ordinance. So I've been given the task of rewriting it. Actually, the task I was given initially was getting language in there to deal with vendors, outdoor vendors.
Mm-hmm.
But when I started looking at the ordinance and finding a way to, plus to add, not only that, but I went to the ordinance committee with a laundry list of changes that I thought needed to be done to Chapter 6. And that included taking out some licensed activities now that don't really need to be licensed anymore, and there's no reason for them being licensed. So those uses I proposed that we take out, they agreed. So, and then there were some activities that the state requires towns to license that we're not licensing now. There are two. One is innkeepers, tavern keepers. And the other one is dealers of secondhand precious metals. State law requires those two land uses to be licensed by the town. We don't have any dealers of secondhand precious metals unless the antique store down there is doing that. I'm not sure if they are. But we do have innkeepers. They're not being licensed right now by the town, but the state law says they're supposed to be. So the ordinance committee agreed we should, if the state law requires it, we should have it in the ordinance. So That's being added in.
What's an inn? What's the
hotel, motel?
Bed and breakfast. Is there a number of beds that it starts at, or is it anything?
I don't think it's defined by beds. You know, what you commonly think is a hotel or motel.
Yeah.
And we have a few that right now are operating without the required state license.
Which is a state license?
It's not a state license. It's a municipal license required by the state, required by state law. There's no fee that the state law requires.
Yeah.
The towns can set their own fees. And by the way, that's something I'm proposing we increase. Our license fees right now are pennies compared to what other towns are charging for licensing. So I'm going to be proposing that we increase some fees. But getting back to why I ended up overhauling the entire ordinance is once I started looking at taking things out, putting things in, it just made it so difficult. It made it a renumbering nightmare. And the numbering format now for that is inconsistent with the numbering format for our land use ordinance, which is just section numbers. You have appendix K, section whatever. In most of the chapters of our town code, it's chapter 6, section 6-601.2. You know, it's just a very cumbersome numbering system. There's no need for that 6 dash. Because just as in our land use ordinance, every page of the ordinance has a heading on it that tells you what the ordinance is. So you know what ordinance you're in just by looking at the heading of the page. So you don't need to repeat the number of the ordinance, or in this case, the letter, in every section. So I'm renumbering chapter 6 that way, and eventually we'll get to the other ones too and do a complete numbering overhaul. But as I work through that, I rearrange the sections to be more in line with how our land use ordinance is laid out. Purpose, authority, applicability, severability, things like that are spelled out in our land use ordinance. And I'm doing it the same way in the licensing ordinance, because this is a similar type of ordinance. It's a, like our land use ordinance, it's an ordinance that regulates land uses. Our land use ordinance requires permits. Chapter 6 requires licenses, and a couple permits too, but mostly licenses. So that's what I'm working on, and I'm about probably two-thirds of the way through. I'm hoping to have something to take to the ordinance committee later this month for their first review. It's an ordinance that will not come to you for review because it's not a zoning ordinance. It's not. Well, you know what? I'm going to think about that because it isn't. It is a land use ordinance in a way, because it does regulate some land use activities. But I'll have to look into that to see if it needs to. I'll get a legal opinion about that to see if it needs to come to you. But that's what I'm working on. And outdoor vendors. Right now, the ordinance refers to itinerant vendors and lunch wagons as two types of outdoor vendors. We're eliminating those. I'm just going to call them outdoor vendors, and that'll include three types of outdoor vendors: site vendors, mobile vendors, and street vendors. The site vendors are the lunch wagons, the trucks, trailers that are hauled to a site. They park there, and they do business from one location. That's the site vendor.
Just for the summer months, or?
Doesn't matter. No, yeah. Anytime where there's business, you know.
Yeah.
The mobile vendors are essentially the ice cream trucks that drive around town. And the street vendors are those vendors that come in with push carts, or they ride bikes around with cases of ice cream, things of that nature. Mm. And they can walk to or stay in one spot, but they're the very, they're more mobile. They're not site vendors where you rely on, you have to go to one spot and park and stay there as a site vendor. And they're regulated a little bit differently, too. Site vendors, the proposed language, because there's a lot of talk about allowing vendors on the waterfront walkway, I'm proposing to start off the discussion by saying that outdoor vendors, that includes all three types, are not allowed on or along the waterfront walkway. That's not saying you can't put them in the parking lots that are by the waterfront walkway, but on or along the waterfront walkway, outdoor vendors are not allowed, except as part of a town-approved event. The festival, for example. Bay Festival.
So what you have festival? Mm-hmm. What would they be? Yeah. Site vendors, the ones that bring the wagon and set it for the festival?
You'd have the site vendors, so they'd be in the parking lots. You couldn't put them on the waterfront walkway, or along them, because you can't drive a vehicle on them. The ones like they do in the festival now, they haul their stands in there, set them up, sell their wares. That would be a street vendor.
So like the high school that does their what beans and hot dogs and mm-hmm. What do they do? They do some big hamburgers. Is it hamburgers and hot dogs and beans
and hoses?
No, I'm thinking of the. I think it's probably the athletic group from the high school always has.
The boosters.
Yeah. They always have a booster.
Some sort of food.
Yeah. I think they have like bean old beans and hot dogs, hamburgers, that type of thing. But those would be considered a, what, a roll-in one, push-cart one?
Is there any sanitary standards that you'd have to check on?
Well, yes. I mean, there are conditions that whoever's reviewing the application would look at the conditions that need to be met. That includes things like sanitation.
I mean, who inspects them periodically?
Well, see, here's the thing. Right now we require a license for the word I pronounce it vittler.
Okay.
But it's commonly pronounced here and elsewhere too, victualler. But I think the dictionary pronunciation is vittler, and that's the way I pronounce it. So a vittler license is required by the town. That's a seller of food. That's what the definition of vittler is, a seller of food. We don't have a food code in Bucksport. So when we go inspect a place of business that sells food, we're not looking for health standards, how they store their food, cook it, serve it.
Yeah.
Because we do not have a food code. The state does that. They have a state license that's required for the same business that has inspectors that go around and inspect these businesses for compliance with that food code. So, and I pointed this out with the ordinance committee. I said, well, you know, why are we licensing these businesses if we really have no codes to apply other than looking at emergency lights and exit pass and all that? And that was my initial suggestion. Eliminate licensings of these businesses because we don't have a food code enforced. And they weren't quite ready to go there yet. So what I'm going to propose to them is, okay, we'll keep that license, but only apply it to businesses that serve food for on-premise consumption. Not the takeout stores. You serve food, like a restaurant, for example. That's a business for on-premise consumption.
I mean, Saturday night bean suppers at the churches.
Those are examples.
Yeah, I'm saying.
I just think, have you ever had ptomaine poisoning? I have. It is brutal.
Looks like it.
Yeah. Feels like it. And it's an awful thing to go through. And you look at some of these people that are running these stands and things. You know, maybe they're wonderful people, but I'd like to know a little bit more.
Right, about how they're preparing their food.
Yeah.
Well, we need to have a standard to enforce that. We have no standard to enforce
how these things happen.
Yeah. So, and I don't think we should, Dave. It's a high expectation to put on your local enforcement authorities to expect them to understand these food regulations, and because it's not something you do on an everyday basis.
Sure.
Like these inspectors in Augusta do. That's their job to make certain that these food standards are being met.
I don't think so.
They don't get around to every restaurant every year. They're short-staffed.
I know.
But
if you had a
case of food poisoning in a restaurant, that's who will be investigating the state, not the town.
Yeah. No, I know. I just wanted to familiarize.
But the reason I'm suggesting we still have a licensing for on-premise consumption is because that's a place of assembly. That's where people congregate. So you have life safety issues there that you can. We can't enforce those. The takeouts, like
McDonald's, and stuff.
Well, they have on-premise consumption.
Yeah.
Tozier's Market would not be licensed. They are now because they have no on-premise consumption there. Dino's would. Bookstacks would not be. They serve coffee and muffins there. They have maybe a table, I think, but I wouldn't say that's subject to licensing. McDonald's would be, Dunkin' Donuts would be, Carrier's would be, Crosby's would be.
Mm-hmm.
So there won't be too many that Hannaford's would not be. Hannaford's would not be licensed.
Yeah. Put a picnic table outside in the parking lot with that license.
No.
Well, does Crosby's
only has picnic tables?
Exactly.
It's on-premise consumption. We can.
I've seen people in the supermarket eating as they walk around.
Well, no, I'm just wondering what the difference would be between Crosby's and Hannaford.
Well, I thought about that. Well, between those two, I think it's a pretty good distinction between Hannaford's and Crosby's because Hannaford sells food to take away. You're not eating the food there, even though some people pay.
Right. So it is inside a building, or it could be a picnic table outside,
well,
right?
That, you know, that's a good discussion to have. I'm covering all, but you might be able to say that if the only consumption you have on premises is picnic tables, not no interior dining, then maybe you can exclude that as well.
I'm not advocating either way. I'm just trying to make sure I understand how you.
But some of the newer supermarkets, Whole Foods, and some of the newer supermarkets have a dedicated space for food that's prepared in the store and seating and eating.
I understand. And I get that.
As part of
but
the
if
experience.
If you're going to sell one group that they...
But that would be places.
I understand. Yeah. Again, a picnic table outside isn't the same thing.
True.
So I was just trying to understand the distinction.
Or you're parked in your car or eating.
Which is what I do. Along with many others.
Over the years. Yes.
It's not pretty to watch homeland poison.
No.
So that's what I'm working on, and that'll be reviewed by the ordinance committee later this month, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Move to adjourn?
No.
Oh.
I just want to have clarity, please, on this administrative business appendix K land use ordinance amendments. Are we going to go out to public hearing at the next meeting?
Yes.
Yes.
We did decide that.
You want to vote on it?
Vote on what?
Having it at the next meeting.
I just want to make sure that although there's certain sections of this that I wouldn't vote for, I don't know how, if the board's going to vote for this en masse or if it's going to vote in sections or what the plan is. But the more important thing for me is to understand that we are going to go out to public hearing at the next meeting so that we can expedite this through. Because I really believe this is something we need to expedite rather than hold off on very long. And I just wanted clarity on that, that's all.
Common sense.
So we are
going to bring common sense in.
And the best way to expedite that would be to have it at the next meeting, right? Public hearing. That you would take care of
and recommend make your recommendation for forwarding to the town council at that same meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. But you had sections, Chris, that you were concerned about.
Yeah. Yeah.
We didn't hear your concerns.
I didn't think I needed to.
Chairman, I have a public meeting.
Mr. Chairman, we're done with that. I'd like to go on one thing on discussion before. On the discussion item 9, again, thank you for the great job that you did at the last meeting. It was really terrific, and I think the board worked really hard and did a great job going through the amount of material that we went through. I also think it was extremely unfortunate that the local newspaper decided to take umbrance with the methods and the time we took with the cemetery. I think that the editorial in the local newspaper was way out of line and highly misinformed, and it just caused me to reassess whether I want to subscribe to that. I just think it was outrageous, some of the things.
I didn't read that.
And I think it was outrageous, some of the things, the allegations are made for the code enforcement officer as well. And I just think it's really unfortunate that we have to deal with this, and I do not believe that this board is anti-business or is the cause of the anti-business sentiment or any of that nonsense that's been going on out there, and I'm really very disappointed.
I missed this. Who wrote the editorial?
Don.
I assume it came from the editor.
I thought last week was an example of certified business friendly. I mean, we moved through a major item.
Last month.
And that's all I have to say.
Very quickly.
We did. I went through the minutes, and I came in the next day. Was it the next day or late? 2 days later?
I expected praise for how business friendly it was done.
Yeah.
We have a new business thanks to the efforts. Staying here late to do it.
Ledbetter's put forth a nice
it
setup.
It was really nice package. It was exceptional.
The eyes were talking to the cross. It was a nice presentation and stuff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Motion to adjourn?
Before you do that, I have one thing I should have mentioned in my report. Forgot to. Got a date tonight?
No.
Okay. I'll be quick.
Not yet. Time's up.
The town council authorized me to put out an RFP for Wilson Hall one more time. I tried it back in 2011, and we got some developers at least look at the building, but no viable proposals came out of that. Now the building is easy to walk through, and it's got daylight, so you can see your way around without a flashlight. It's cleaned up. We're hoping that maybe it'll shed a different light on somebody who might be attracted to that building for some reason. So the council said, okay, go ahead and do an RFP. So that's what I'm working on.
You had mentioned a while back there was a business possibility. Was that the brewery?
Mm. Yeah.
Did they ever think about an auction, having an auction, and really advertise the hell out of it, and have an auction and see what happens? Put a, what do you call it, on it?
Well, I think the town council is interested in having a developer who has a viable reuse for the building and the means to do it, not just somebody willing to, you know, take the problem off the town's shoulders. You know, it's a building that really needs somebody serious in saving the building and reusing it for a purpose that the town finds appropriate for that.
Well, I mean, if they proposed an auction, and then you could have people come and look at the building, and who the hell knows? I mean, at least would get it out there.
Well, the request for proposals is a similar one. It'll be advertised. It'll be on the internet. It'll be in papers. Okay. I'll be sending the request out to the developers that came the first time.
Yeah.
Give them a second chance at it. And Bacchus. Bacchus is interested, again, in the building, too. So putting the name out there just provides an opportunity for people to learn about the property mm-hmm. and its potential and maybe take a stab at it.
Nice.
It's been sitting there for a year now after we got done stabilizing the interior. It's been a year. And only a couple people have looked at it in that time period.
Keep your fingers crossed for this weekend that it doesn't get more damage, along with this historical society group. So, fingers crossed.
Where's the historical society building?
Right, train station.
Oh, okay.
But what could come up through here this weekend? I worry about that roof up there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Which one?
Wilson Hall.
Wilson Hall.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Kind of leaning steeple.
Go ahead.
Go, George. Time is money.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?